7 o'clock, Rise and Shine Pile. Good morning. Good morning. Great to have you with us. Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy. From the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Rockies get the split with the Padres. Josh Fuentes with a couple of impressive at-bats yesterday. Walk-off RBI single to win it in the second game of the doubleheader. Had a two-run bomb the first. Rockies get split with the Padres. Avs a step closer to winning the President's Trophy with a dominating performance on the... Their minds are already on the first tee box. LA Kings. And the schedule came out officially. Yes, we already knew, right? We knew who they were playing. We knew home and road. But we didn't know the dates. We didn't know the order.
It's just the order. That's all.
And we didn't really know the dates for somebody. So that was part of it, too.
We knew the weekends they were playing, essentially. Just right. Not what specific team.
Exactly. And so it came out yesterday. Broncos will be on the road. For the first time, the first two games will be on the road at the Giants at Jacksonville. Where they get to see, possibly, maybe, Timmy Tebow. First time since 2003, they'll open the season with back-to-back road games. And something that's being bantered about now with the 17th game, something we hear a lot about with the NBA. Load management. So our Qdoba question of the day today, brought to you by our friends over at Qdoba. Stop by and grab some breakfast today at Qdoba. Or lunch or dinner. Doesn't matter. They'll just be glad to see you.
Had dinner the other night.
Very good.
Had to matriculate back indoors, though, because it was a little windy. Sat out on the patio, and we're like,
You don't want, yeah. Those burritos are so heavy, they probably wouldn't fly anywhere, but you didn't want to run the risk, right?
No, not at all.
Wise man. Wise decision on your part. Are we going to see load management become part of the NFL? Are we going to see teams that maybe wrap up the division early? Maybe even a couple games to go left. Not just one game left in the season, maybe two, three games left in the season. Depending on how their division plays out and where they are in terms of playoff standings. That you might see backup quarterbacks play a little bit more in week 16 and 17 than you normally do. Lighter amount of carries throughout the course of a season for running backs, where two backs might become even more important than they currently are in the league. Giving guys a little rest at various times in the season. Could we see that happen? We see that happen in the NBA. Could we see that happen in the NFL? You seem to think so. At least that's the impression I get.
I don't know.
It's not going to be NBA-like. I mean, we could see that. I don't think it's going to dramatically... I don't think all of a sudden we're going to start seeing quarterbacks play a half, right?
Right.
Running backs only play two or three series or, you know, ridiculous stuff like that. We're not going to see that.
If the Chiefs are up three scores with 5 minutes left, there's no reason to continue to play Patrick Mahomes, even for kneel downs.
Right, and even look, this is before even load management, right?
Right, that's the way to go anyway.
I mean, it's just like, why would you? Yeah, you're up by three scores, 3 minutes to go, whatever, and you still have your starting quarterback out there?
Mm-hmm.
I've never quite got that.
Oh, he's a competitor. That has nothing to do with it.
Well, he's been taking snaps in the game, and
he wants to stay sharp.
Right.
You have 51 points on the board. How much sharper can he get?
You're up 51
to
14.
Do you want to turn him into a laser that just slices through? What's the point?
I think if you're up 51 to 14, I think you're going to be okay. I think you're probably going to eke this one out.
The only person that should stay in the game at that point is Matt Ryan, because his defense is going to give up that lead.
Exactly. Otherwise,
everybody else should be on the bench. Exactly.
Exactly.
But I'm with you. I don't think we're gonna get just a straight up
NBA.
It's week eight. Yeah. Kawhi's not playing tonight, or he's not playing today. You know, it's like you're playing the Bengals, so we're gonna go ahead and sit down whoever.
Yeah, I just don't think we're going to see it be that rampant. Mm-mm. Could we see a team, like you said, clinches with, you know, two games left to go, game 16, 17 in the season, week 16, 17, I should say, in the season. Could you see maybe if you've already solidified your postseason position.
Right.
And you're not playing for home field advantage, anything like you know where you're going to be.
But how many times does that even happen?
Not very often.
Anyway, you know what
it's,
I mean?
It's
you're
very
still
rare.
Playing for a home game, a better matchup, things like that, usually deeper into the final week sometimes.
Right. And so I don't even know how. I'm just throwing that as a hypothetical.
But
like you were saying with, you know, you're up big by three scores, 3 minutes to go, whatever, 4 minutes to go. Is that really load management? I mean, they played pretty much the entire game.
I think anytime you can get them off the field,
yes, probably. But how significant is that when you really think about it? Because that's something you could already be doing.
Probably not really.
You could. I'm not poo-pooing what you're saying. Mm-hmm. You're right. That's something that they should already probably be doing anyway to prevent injury.
Right.
And so,
like, you look at the Clippers right now. They've played 69 games this season. Kawhi started 51. Paul George has started 53. If you translate that to football, you're not going to have Aaron Rodgers with 13 starts this season because of load management. It just doesn't make sense right. From a football perspective.
They're two different animals, let's be honest.
They are.
I mean, yeah, I get it. They're adding one game. It's a 17-game season opposed to a regular NBA 82-game season. Or, of course, this year it's obviously less than that. But I just don't think that there's going to be this big, all of a sudden, guys are sitting out games, or they're only going to play a half, or you know, whatever it might be in terms of load management. I don't think it's going to be that rampant. If you got some thoughts about the Broncos schedule, too, send that our way today. Text us, call us, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. They're serving your breakfast right now until 10:30 this morning over at Rimrock. Stop by and see them, 970-242-1340. So we have a lot to get to on the program. We'll have a high school baseball today, Fruit of Mon, but playing at Central High School. So kind of a unique situation where,
that'd be fun.
Well, because of just the sheer amount of games going on right now,
mm-hmm.
that some of the games will be played at Fruta's home field, and some will be out at Central Palisade. They started a few years ago playing games out at their field.
Some games at Junction's field, too.
Right over at the Fanning Field over mm-hmm. here, just to the east of us at Grand Junction High School. So we'll have that today. We'll talk with Chuck Yost, Central Warriors coach. And then Ray McLennan, Fruit of Mon, getting the win at Montrose yesterday after they beat the Indians Tuesday over at Canyon View. So we'll talk with both of those coaches. And we'll have that game at 3:45 today. We'll also have Colorado Mesa baseball tonight. Mavericks taking on Colorado Christian. So pretty much it'll be high school baseball. Buckeye, you'll be out there doing the Central game. Greg
yep.
and Cake. Hopefully he won't get
pending
lost.
Pending he makes it. Yeah.
Pending that he... Hey, guys. Guys.
Guys.
I think I'm on Douglas Pass. I think I took a wrong turn.
Yeah. Between 3rd and Sherwood and 12th and North, he gets lost in Whitewater.
He's getting so much heat. So much heat.
And he shared this willingly, too.
And he did.
So it's all on him.
He could have just not even said anything.
I would have kept that to myself.
So now he's getting called Carmen San Diego.
Carmen said Dora the Explorer, Christopher Columbus.
Marco Polo,
all of them.
Because all he had to do was go from Maverick Field to the Redlands on Saturday, and he ended up in Fruta.
Actually, it was Friday night.
That's right.
He had to go was Maverick Field to home, and he got lost in Fruta and the Redlands. Both. He made it.
Okay, this was Friday night.
So he did CMU's lacrosse play-by-play.
Okay.
And he was driving home.
Because I thought this was the other thing that he went to on Saturday.
No. This was Friday night.
Oh, so.
This wasn't even that. Yeah, this
wasn't
was.
Even, okay, I got, that's the part of the story I got confused on.
He went from 12th and Orchard, and he lives downtown. And right around East Middle School.
Right.
Which is about a mile from where he was started.
Yes.
He got lost in Fruta on the way. And the Redlands. While looking for ice cream.
Okay, see, I thought because on Saturday, mm-hmm. the place he was going to was on the Redlands.
Yes.
And so I immediately thought,
now he
okay,
made it there fine.
Okay, well, but that would have been, to me, would have, okay, he overshot it, right? Yep. On Saturday, overshot it, went to Fruita, got confused. This was just him going home?
Yeah, that's why I needed clarification. I'm like, hold on.
That makes us
It's a better story.
A better story, but it'd be even worse for him because he was just driving home.
He was driving home to downtown Grand Junction from 12th and Orchard, and he got lost in Fruita on the way. Which is how he told the story, by the way. In search of ice cream, he got lost.
I appreciate you illuminating me, enlightening me on the details. Because it's better now, isn't it? Because now it's like, what? Okay, Saturday, okay, yeah, I get it. Right. You were heading out that direction, you got lost.
So like, he got lost in the Redlands, found his way out of the Redlands, got lost in Fruita, and then made it home, and then made his way safely to the location on the Redlands Saturday.
Okay.
After his sojourn Friday night.
Okay.
Yeah. Carmen San Diego has no idea where he's going.
Wow. Okay.
It's the best.
Whew. All right.
Old Dora the Explorer.
I can't believe he got lost just going home from Maverick Field to where he lives over by East Middle School.
Yeah.
That's not that far.
No. It's
okay.
I could walk it. And I don't walk anywhere.
No.
He got lost in Fruita on the way. Poor guy. I don't know what's better.
I'm just...
The fact that that happened or he willingly told us bunch of jerks
that he did this. I would have never said a word about it.
Not at all. I'd take that to my grave.
But
now, if he...
Now, like, if I would have...
Yeah.
Now, if I did it and I would have told Kenda because she would have... Because it would just... Because I would have felt so stupid. I'd have to share it with somebody, right? That I did this.
I don't trust anybody else to keep it to themselves. I would have taken that to my grave.
Yeah.
And then on my headstone, it would have been, "Is he here?" Question mark.
Make sure. Do we want to make sure? No, I don't think he'll be fine.
Right.
We don't need to make sure. We'll be good. All right. 7:12. Okay. Do you think load management will become part of the NFL? Cake getting lost going from Maverick Field to East Middle School. Have you ever heard anybody get that lost that badly?
What's the most obscure place you've been lost?
There you go. Very good. I like that.
That has no relation to where you were at or where you were going.
That is so far away.
Yeah.
So far away from where you're planning on going.
Right. And it took him, he said, about an hour to consult the map. Of driving around the Redlands and Fruita, just having no idea where he's at.
He actually has a physical paper map?
Well, on the iPhone.
Okay, on the iPhone. Well,
it was with him the whole time.
Okay. Yeah, I mean,
Siri, help. That's all he needs to do.
I mean, I'm lost. Like, and Siri screws stuff up. I get that.
Not that much.
But not that bad. Maybe a turn or two, but not...
Yeah.
What, 20-some miles out of his way?
He probably put 20 or 30 miles on his car trying to go from 12th and Patterson to downtown.
I hate to beat up on Nibsy Hustle.
I don't.
Dora the Explorer.
I
like Carmen San Diego now. Carmen San Diego is great.
Tired Franzen.
Tired Franzen. Poor guy gets beat up on. Poor guy.
Yes, Chuck, he did eventually find ice cream.
Yeah. Eventually.
Eventually found it. And he found home.
I just can't believe he...
E.T. found home.
Oh, TF found home.
TF found home.
Poor guy. Okay, 7:14. If you have a story of getting lost that's that bad, I would love to hear it. Because that's
the
worst.
It can't be that bad. No one can be that bad.
I've never heard anybody get lost that badly. When you're roughly a mile from home and you end up...
In a town you live in.
And lived here for a while. It's
like 4 years, 5 years now.
Yeah, it's not like he moved here 2 weeks ago. Okay, 2 weeks ago. Okay, maybe get okay.
Still getting lost in Fruita.
That's pretty far away.
Like he is one from where he started to where he was going. He is one turn away. He only needs to make one turn once he gets onto 12th Street.
All right.
Screw that one up.
Okay. Text or call us today 970-242-1340.
We will all die at some point in this life. That story will not.
That story will live on.
Tell that to my kids.
Forever and ever. Let's get to...
What's happening?
Okay. All right. It's a story. It's a story. Just got a whole lot better than when I first heard it.
Yeah. It's a great story.
For the first time since 2003, the Denver Broncos will open the season with back-to-back road games. The NFL released the schedules Wednesday night, and the Broncos will start the season September 12th at the New York Giants with kickoff at 2:25. Then Denver heads to Jacksonville to possibly face former Broncos quarterback Tim Tebow and the Jags with kickoff at 11. Denver's lone primetime game will be at Cleveland October 21st with the Broncos 9-5 on Thursday Night Football. Week 11 is a bye with Denver's first game against AFC West champ and Super Bowl runner-up Kansas City at Arrowhead December 5th at 11. Catch the Broncos this fall on the Team Sports Network. JT Compher's hat trick lifted the Avalanche to a 6-0 win over the LA Kings Wednesday night in Denver. The win clinched home ice in the first round of the playoffs and keeps them alive for the chance to win the President's Trophy and home ice throughout the entire postseason. If Colorado beats LA again this evening, the Avs would have the tiebreak with Vegas for the President's Trophy and the West Division title. The Rockies split their Wednesday home doubleheader with San Diego. Colorado lost game 1-5-3, but came back to beat the Padres 3-2 in the nightcap thanks to Josh Fuentes coming up with a walk-off RBI single to win the game in the eighth inning. The Rocks' Yensy Almonte picked up the win in relief as 13-24 Colorado hosts Cincinnati tonight at Coors Field. Shelton State, Alabama, is the second team to qualify for this year's Alpine Bank Junior College Baseball World Series. The Bucks crushed Wallace Dothan 22-5 to win the South District title in Ozark, Alabama, after Shelton State had to battle through the loser's bracket. The Bucks also had a wait a day after their game with Wallace Dothan was rained out Monday. At Shelton State's fifth appearance in Grand Junction, their first since 2012, the Bucks joined Miami-Dade as the only teams qualified so far for the series. Tickets can only be bought online at JUCOGJ.org. Catch the JUCO World Series starting Memorial Day weekend right here on the Team Sports Network. The Palisade volleyball team's postseason run came to an end Wednesday at the 4A state tournament in Colorado Springs. The Bulldogs fell to Palm Ridge 3-0 on the first day of the tournament as Kendall McCaskill led them with 11 kills, with Ella Yanowich adding two aces and Kaylee Chutka posting seven digs. Palisade finishes the season 13-3 in their first trip to the state tournament since 1995. The Fruto Monument baseball team is 2-0 in the Southwestern League after a second straight win over Montrose. After beating the Indians 6-0 Tuesday at Canyon View, the Wildcats won at Montrose 8-1 Wednesday, buying 14 strikeouts from Cade Bessert. Fruto plays at Central High School today, and the Team Sports Network will have the game starting at 3:45. The Central girls tennis team won at Basalt 6-1 on Wednesday. The Warriors' number 2 singles Catrice Hansen and number 3 singles Jessica Warner picked up wins for 2-1 Central. The RMAC softball tournament starts today at Bergman Field over on the CMU campus. The Red Hot Mavericks will be facing either number 5 seed Regis or number 4 seed Colorado School of Mines. Right now, the Mavericks, the number 15 team in the nation, and CMU 5th in the region. Colorado Mesa has had some success against both teams this year, and interim head coach Mercedes Boti says she feels like her team can handle either one, whoever they face it for today.
It's nice to know kind of what we're going to be going up against, and I think we're going to do well. I don't think any of these pitchers are going to blow it by us. I think if we just kind of focus on our game and do well, we'll be just fine. They have a couple good players that definitely can hit and get RBIs and have power, but I think we figured out how to pitch to them pretty well and really just getting the people out around them.
Once again, that's 4 o'clock today over at Bergman Field. You can follow along with the RMAC softball tournament at cmumavericks.com. And also the Broncos. Yesterday, should get back to the Broncos for a moment. After Charles Leno signed elsewhere, Eric Fisher signed also, I believe, the Colts, that the Broncos bringing in former Chicago Bear Bobby Massey on a one-year deal. It's one year, $4 million in that contract. Of course, Massey was at Chicago when Vic Fangio was the defensive coordinator there. So Bobby Massey was a cap casualty of the Bears signed by the Broncos. So he will start at right tackle for Denver once the season gets underway. And that's a look at
what's happening.
All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Do you think load management will become part of the NFL now with a 17th game on the NFL schedule? So text or call us. Also, our good friend, our colleague, Cake, did PA over at Maverick Field, and he lives by East Middle School.
Yeah, no, around there.
Mile and change or so. It's not that far.
No.
He ended up getting lost in the Redlands, then yep. He ended up getting lost in Fruta. And all he was doing was going home.
Yeah. That's it. That's all he was doing.
Maverick Field, Deese Middle School. Boom, boom. And he ended up getting lost in Fruta. Is that the worst story you've ever heard of somebody getting lost? I can't think of one right now I mean, even,
I can't either.
Even Columbus, who thought he found India, right?
Yeah.
Is that worse thing? That's probably cake level. But then again, Columbus did not have GPS.
No.
He didn't have the technology.
He didn't have Siri in his pocket.
Exactly. So we're talking about navigating the ocean at a period of time where navigational tools were not the best, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
No computer technology to rely on. Not a smartphone in your hand that you could just say, hey.
Yep.
Plus, he was going home.
Yeah.
How many times is... Because he does a lot of PA stuff at Maverick Field.
Right.
How many times has he made that trip in the 4 or 5 years that he's lived here?
Right.
Probably a ton. I don't know how many exactly, but a lot.
I guess the variable this time was a hunt for ice cream.
Okay.
Which so I guess precluded this whole adventure.
Okay, there's Dairy Queen on North. There's, even if you went out west, Cold Stone.
Right.
Out that direction. I mean, there's ice cream.
There's a handful of Sonics laying around. They got good Sonics, ice cream. Burger King.
Burger King sells ice cream. McDonald's sells ice cream.
Sometimes they do, yeah.
Well, they usually do.
Right. They have the machine there. Let's put it
right.
That.
Well, what, have you had a time you've gone there and they didn't have ice cream?
Yeah.
I think I've gone there once and that's been the case.
Often.
just
machine's broken. Okay.
Okay. All right. All right, 7:21. Chuck Yost, Central Warriors softball coach, Central Warriors baseball coach, coming up in just a moment. All right, so text or call in today, 970-242-1340. Have you ever heard anybody getting lost that badly? I just can't say that I have. All right, the Jim Davis Show brought to you by FanDuel. One of the things I love about betting on basketball is I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like, and that's what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook, is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called a same-game parlay. You can only find them on FanDuel. Like so many NBA options, right? With player point total, rebounds, assists, money line, over-under, point spread. You can play some bets and root on your favorite team. Nuggets and Minnesota Timberwolves tonight. You can do a same-game parlay with the first basket. Going to put some money on Nikola Jokic, Michael Porter Jr. I think probably Nikola Jokic is where my money would go. Win margin as well. You can have the Nuggets winning between 1 and 10 points. You can put that together as part of your same-game parlay. And whether you're new or use FanDuel Sportsbook every day, check out NBA same-game parlays daily. Same-game parlays are just one reason why I use FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook. Their app is simple to use. They've got great pricing, exclusive always-on promotions to let you get more action out of every game day, plus different deposit options so you know your dollars are safe. And if you win, they get your winnings safely in as little as 24 hours. If you haven't tried FanDuel Sportsbook yet, new users can get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000. Just place a bet and FanDuel will fund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and use my promo code KTMM at signup. That's promo code KTMM. Do that same game parlay with the Nuggets and the Timberwolves tonight. 21 and older, present in Colorado, first online real money wager only for risk-free bet. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-522-4700.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. 7:26, Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy, The Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. 17-game NFL season. Do you anticipate load management becoming part of the NFL? Text or call us today. Also, our good friend, colleague, Cake, Tyler Franson.
This is going to be a great day.
Looking for ice cream Friday night, driving from Maverick Field to where he lives, his apartment over by East Middle School. He ended up getting lost in Fruita. Is that the worst story you've ever heard of somebody getting lost? Text or call us today, 970-242-1340. Joining us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, he is the head coach of the Central Warriors. They take on Fruita Monument today out at Central High School in Southwestern League play. Chuck Yost joins us. Chuck, I appreciate the time. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing fine, Chuck. Always great catching up with you. Your ball club right now with a 2-2 record, 1-0 in the Southwestern League, a really good win against your crosstown rival Grand Junction. on Tuesday night, 8-0. You get the shutout in that one. And boy, Luke Brown for you did a sensational job in that game on the bump. Had an outstanding effort for your ball club. Picks up the win in that game. Let's talk a little bit about Luke Brown, the junior, and what he was able to do in that game, because Luke's a kid that I remember my my grandson played on a Little League team with Luke years ago. And you could tell back then he was a special player, and he's certainly a guy that you're going to count on a lot to have that kind of success here in this baseball season.
Yeah, we're going to have to lean on Luke heavily, especially with the loss of Nostrand. But he did a phenomenal job, you know, and he's kind of, we joke around a little bit, he's kind of Nuke Lucius when it comes to, you know, he's going to throw his fair share of balls and he's going to walk kids. But, man, he made some quality pitches when he needed to and dialed in and did a great job for us on the mound.
As they say, effectively wild, right? Because he had 11 strikeouts, but he also had the 7 walks, but only gave up one hit in the game, 6 1/3. So he definitely, at times, I'm sure, drove you a little bit crazy in the dugout, but comes away with that really a solid performance on the bump for you.
Yeah, and you know coming in, that's kind of what you're going to get out of Luke Brown. You're going to get, like you said, effectively wild, and he's going to throw a lot of pitches. It'd have been nice to see him not walk a few guys and be able to finish the game, but, you know, and again, that's just what you get and what you come to expect, but couldn't be more proud of the performance he put out there on the mound. And he did a great job, and it'd have been nice to see him get out of there with no hits, but, you know, we'll take what we can get, and a win's a win, and that's what we were shooting for.
Central Warriors baseball coach Chuck Yost with us. Luke also had a base hit and drove in a run in that game, but offensively, Ryan Pennino had scored 3 runs in the game the other night. Your bats pounded out 10 hits, Chuck. It was a good offensive night to go along with what Luke Brown gave you on the mound.
Yeah, Ochoa kid, he gave us fits the first 2 innings, and we weren't real aggressive at the plate, and he did a great job, and then we kind of settled in and had a better plan at the plate and was looking for specific pitches, and once we executed that plan, we did a good job of swinging the bats later in the innings.
Chuck Yost, coach of the Central Warriors baseball team, with us on the Team Sports Network. I want to get back to Tristan Nostrand, your senior who, now can you tell us exactly his situation? He left the game the other day with the arm injury, and can you give us any details on that? Because that was a big piece of your ball club for this year.
Yeah, don't know much anymore. I know he had an MRI yesterday, and he has his follow-up tomorrow, and that's basically all we know right now.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed that the news is good and he's able to get back on the mound. I know that you love to have him back there, and he's a competitor. He wants to get back out there as well. Chuck Yost, coach of the Central Warriors baseball team, with us on the Team Sports Network. And, Chuck, after that win against Grand Junction, you're 1-0 in league. Fruit of Monument, you host them today out at Central High School. They're 2-0. With a couple of really good wins over a Montrose ball club that Landon Wareham had as the preseason number 7 team in 4A. So far, the Wildcats, they've got great pitching. The other day, Jacob Weaver had 10 strikeouts. Cade Bessert had 14 strikeouts against the Indians yesterday. So far, Fruit of Monument's pitching has been lights out to start league play.
Yeah, I mean, they're good. And they that's why they've been league champs for the last 3 years. And I think they were probably favored to win our league again this year. But yeah, they're good, and nice thing is we're catching them on the third day, third league game, and so maybe some of those big arms aren't as fresh, but yeah, we're really going to have to battle, and we're really going to have to play well to beat the Wildcats.
Warriors head coach Chuck Yost joining us on the Jim Davis Show. On a normal season, you usually have a couple, 3 weeks of non-conference ball. You usually go somewhere and you play a tournament, but you guys have kind of been thrown in. You had the Fanning, and now all of a sudden you're starting league play. On top of that, you didn't really have a season for a lot of these kids last year with any more than a few innings here or there. How do you manage the just kind of throwing them to the wolves with the fact that some of your guys haven't played super competitive baseball at the high school level in 2 years?
Yeah, it's been a tough challenge, and especially when you've got younger kids. You know, we're a young team, and some of our sophomores this year didn't play last year's freshmen. I mean, they got a week of practice in. And so you're absolutely right. It's been a challenge just to we've been really harping on practice about competitiveness and things that they need to do to play at the varsity level. So it's definitely been a challenge for us, but our younger kids are getting a whole lot better, and we can see some improvement. And I think that showed a little bit against Junction. We had some young kids get some big hits for us, but It's been a challenge to get those kids mentally, more not as much physically, but more mentally ready for a varsity season and how competitive it is.
Central head coach Chuck Yost with us today on the Team Sports Network. With Fruita, their bats have been really good. Tucker Bunninger in particular in that leadoff role, he had a really good game against Montrose Tuesday out of Canyon View. He's a tough leadoff hitter, and it's going to be a challenge to keep him off the bases because he's been a really good table setter so far for Ray McLennan.
Yeah, I mean, they're good, and they're good all the way through. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be a challenge for us. And we've got to make some quality pitches, and we can't afford, I don't think we can afford to walk seven of those guys and give them that many free base runners. And we've got to play good defense and can't give them extra outs and just get some timely hits and play situational baseball on our end. But it's definitely going to be a challenge.
Now, today's game is out at your ballpark, out at Central High School. Is this the first time you've played a varsity game at your field? Because I can't remember a time that you've played a varsity game during the time you've been there, and even before that, Chuck, where it's been a varsity game at your field.
So when they were doing the construction at Saplesio, we had to play two varsity games here.
Okay.
We played Durango here one time, and then we played Montrose here. During that year. So that would have been Kyle Serrano and those guys' senior year. And I can't.
So it's been a while.
I don't remember exactly. Yeah, it's been a while. But we have played two varsity games here before, and it's fun. You know, we like it's a good atmosphere, and our field's in good shape, and it'll be fun to play here.
All right, we'll have that game today right here on the Team Sports Network from Central High School. Fruita Monument takes on the Warriors in Southwestern League play. Warriors 1-0 in league play. Fruita Monument 2-0. Pregame at 3:45 today right here on the Team Sports Network. Chuck, I appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on today, and best of luck today against Fruita Monument.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. Chuck Yost, head coach of the Central Warriors. I mean, it's a compressed schedule. It's a lot of players, like you referenced with Chuck, and everybody has to deal with that of a lot of young guys that
– yeah.
Don't have a ton of varsity experience, and so it's a challenge. It's really the compressed schedule makes it tough on your pitching. Really going to test the pitching depth, but for Fruita Monument so far, Jacob Weaver, Cade Bessert in league play, they've been outstanding. But for Central, boy, keep your fingers crossed for Tristan Nostrand. Mm-hmm. He's going to go play over at Otero. That's not a major problem, and that he'll be able to get back in the field soon. Because that was a guy who was going to anchor their pitching staff, and now others like Luke Brown have to kind of step up and help to fill that void.
Yeah, and on top of that, it's you mentioned all of that plus the compressed schedule, and now you're moved up in your quote unquote rotation a spot. All these other guys, it's gonna make for an interesting next couple of weeks for the Warriors.
All right, so we'll have that game today. Don't forget, we'll also have Colorado Mesa baseball tonight against Colorado Christian, and we'll have that first pitch at 6:05 tonight right here on the Team Sports Network. But Central Fruita Monument at 3:45 today on the team. All right, 7:36. We've got the Warriors' perspective. We'll get the Wildcats' perspective on today's game with Fruita Monument coach Ray McLennan coming up in just a few minutes. All right, want to get to what was going on yesterday, and there was a busy day with Rockies playing a doubleheader. The Avalanche were in action last night in a must-win game against the Kings. They have another must-win game tonight to win the President's Trophy when they take on Los Angeles over Ball Arena. We'll start out with the Avalanche and the Avs last night getting a 6-0 win over the LA Kings of Ball Arena. JT Convert.
Really a 3-0 win, but we'll take 6. Okay.
That's what the final score was, dude.
I know.
But JT Compher had 3 of the 6 goals last night for the Avalanche. Here is JT Compher on getting the hat trick against the LA Kings.
Pretty cool. It's exciting to get 3 and doing the game when we're pushing, towards the end of the season and doing it home. But all 3 goals, were great plays by teammates. Miko on the first one, then Taser on the second, and Brie helped me here. Why am I spacing? And Val on the last one, getting it back to me. I mean, it was, great job by those guys. Made it real easy for me.
And where'd he play again? Where'd he play?
What
that
a
guy?
Jerk. Can't remember his teammates' names.
Where'd he play again?
How long has he been here?
Where'd he play again?
College? Plays in school up north. If the Kings had started an Ohio State Buckeye in net, he wouldn't have had any goals. Okay.
Sure.
He can't remember names of his teammates. What a jerk.
First career hat trick for that jerk. Your words, not mine. JT Compher. Here's Jared Bednar on the Avs win.
Well, I thought we had a good start. Checked the right way, didn't give up a lot, even through all three periods. I think, the first 40 minutes obviously was the key, and we were doing a good job getting above pucks, and I thought we did a good job bottling things up in the neutral zone, not allowing them to come over our line with any speed. Had some big blocks. I mean, guys were committed to the checking game tonight, and we get rewarded at the other end from doing the right things. We kept putting pucks in and getting in on the forecheck, and guys made some plays to get us a lead, and JT Compher had himself a night, and, you know, it turned out to be a good victory for us, and, you know, we'll put it away and move on for tomorrow.
All right, so there's Jared Bednar for the Avalanche. Jonas Johansson will be in the pipes tonight. Philip Grubauer will sit it out tonight, get some rest right before the playoffs start. Also, no Nathan MacKinnon. So MacKinnon out again for the Avalanche tonight when they take on the Kings again. And a win tonight gives Colorado the President's Trophy, which, look, I kind of agree with Mark Kislaw on something that he wrote today in the Post. As much as we kind of tend to view the President's Trophy as being almost this, oh, you don't want to win it because we've seen teams like Tampa Bay in recent years lose in the first round of the playoffs after winning the President's Trophy. Avs really, they really do need to have home ice advantage, and it would be huge for them to have that.
Yeah, it would, and I totally understand that, but you lose one game in any series at home, and then all of a sudden your home ice advantage is gone, right? You get the one extra game, that comes down to the seventh game. You don't want to have to use that advantage every round. If you're in the game seven, first round, second round, conference finals, the likelihood of you ultimately winning continues to decrease, is what I'm trying to say.
But
to me, it doesn't. I don't need it.
But you'd like it, though. I mean, I don't
like
think
it, but I don't.
But I don't think it's like, I don't think it's this huge millstone that we've kind of portrayed it as.
I also don't think they need to go full accept to the wall to win tonight.
Well, I think starting Jonas Johansson is an indication of that. Mm-hmm. MacKinnon's going to be out again. I think that's a pretty clear indication. They feel like they should be able to go out and win with Johansson and net tonight.
Yeah.
And
this team should be able to win anywhere.
Exactly. And so there's no need to pull out all stops to try to win tonight.
Right.
They feel like they're good enough with who they roll out there to get it done against the Kings. And if they win it, great. And if they don't, playoffs begin, and the goal is still out there in front of them to win a Stanley Cup.
If you sweep everybody, you're winning on visiting ice all the time anyway. Yeah.
All right, 7:41. Also, the Rockies splitting with the Padres. We talked about that just a little bit in what's happening. The Rockies splitting with the Padres yesterday at Coors Field. They lose the first game 5-3. Josh Fuentes hitting a two-run bomb for the Rockies, but then Fuentes came back. He had the walk-off RBI single in the eighth inning. Remember, they're only playing seven-inning doubleheader games as the Rockies get the win in game two, 3-2. Yency Almonte got the win in relief for the Rockies. They are now 13-24. They host Cincinnati tonight at Coors Field. All right, 7:41. Ray McClendon, Fruto Monmouth baseball coach, coming up in a moment. Time for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Buckeye?
Well, noted baseball person Tim Kirkjian stopped by Dan Patrick earlier in the week talking about Cal Ripken and the Cal Ripken Jr.'s basketball playing ability.
Now, you used to play hoops with Cal Ripken, right?
Yes.
How good was Rip?
You know, amazing, Dan. He never played in high school, and he became a great basketball player. I mean, he's so big and so strong around the rim, you just cannot move him with those giant legs in the lane. So if I may, this is terrible, I should never say this. He asked me once, he said, show me how to do that move that you do, okay? And it's a little guy move that if I can't make that play, I can't play anywhere, all right? So I show it to him, and it took me like a year to perfect that move for me. So I showed it to him, and then we played like 3 days later, and he's using that move in the game. 3 days it took him. But you know what he did? You know what he did? He practiced that. He went into the gym by himself and worked on this little shake with his left hand and then crossed to his right. The move I showed him, he had it in 3 days. It took me a year. He had it in 3 days. That's how great an athlete he is.
Tim Kirchner.
Maybe
also,
how yeah. not a great athlete, that much of a not a great athlete Tim Kirchner
is. That's what I was going to say. Earlier in the interview, he was proud about the fact he was able to back down a 10-year-old in the post when they were playing games. A 10-year-old was bigger than Tim Kirchner.
I'm not denying that Cal Ripken isn't, wasn't in the day a tremendous athlete.
Right. But the scale may be a little different.
Let's bump the brakes. So, I mean, on a little bit on that. Then I had to work on that for a year.
I worked on it for a year. Well,
and I was posting up 10-year-olds.
Yeah, you're also probably not a great hoops player yourself.
Probably, yeah.
You're all right, but
not a ton of game there. Probably. Yeah. All right, 7:43. Fruit of Monmouth baseball coach Ray McLennan joins us next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The Team.
Welcome back in. 7:47, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. South Washington League Baseball on the team today. Fruit of Monmouth at Central High School. With us right now, his Wildcats are 2-0 in South Washington League play after two wins against Montrose. Fruit of Monmouth coach Ray McLennan joins us. Ray, appreciate the time. How are you?
You bet, Jim. I'm good. Thanks. How are you?
Doing well. Your ball club is doing quite well. 4-2 right now overall. 2-0 in the South Washington League. Two wins. The one Tuesday out of Canyon View against Montrose. Then you went there yesterday and picked up the 8-1 victory. Pitching. It's been really good for you so far. Jacob Weaver had the complete game victory on Tuesday with the 10 strikeouts. And then Cade Bessert says, okay, 10's pretty good, Jacob. I think I can go out and get 14 strikeouts. And he had a 14-strikeout performance against a really good Montrose Indians lineup.
Yeah, they both were very good. You know, our pitching has been great. And, you know, the nice thing about it is our starting pitching has taken us deep into games, so we haven't had to get into our bullpen a little bit. And both those games were a lot closer than the final score indicated. Last night, you know, it was 3-0 going into the sixth, and then we kind of broke it open. And I didn't feel real comfortable even after we got an 8-run lead. You know, they're pesky, they're scrappy, just like Montrose teams usually are, and they play hard. And so, you know, you've got to make sure that you keep them down and hold them down, because they're going to keep fighting, and they're going to play to the final out for sure.
Yeah, preseason number 7 team in 4A. So, I mean, you're right. I mean, that's a good ball club that Landon Wareham has. He has a lot of young guys, but it's still a talented group that he has there. I want you to talk for a moment about Tucker Bunninger. Tucker's had a really good start to the season in your leadoff role. He's hitting .542. He's got 13 hits. He's already scored 8 runs. He leads your team in hits and runs scored already this season. Tucker's had he's been really solid in that leadoff role for your ball club.
Yeah, he certainly has. Tucker's a great baseball player, and the funny thing about it, he's played shortstop, he's played third, he's caught. We put him in left field once or twice. You know, you can put him just about anywhere on the field. He pitched for us in the past. I don't know that he's going to pitch this year for us, but you know, he's a kid who he's just a natural baseball player. He's got good baseball instincts. You know, if you want to talk about a high baseball IQ, he's got it. You know, he understands what's going on. As a leadoff hitter, he's tremendous. If he doesn't get a base hit, you know, he's going to see a lot of pitches, and he's going to help your hitters out down the line. You know, he's going to make that pitcher throw all his pitches that first at-bat so everybody gets a chance to see him. You know, just very smart and a very good baseball player.
Fruit of Monmouth baseball coach Ray McLennan with us on the Team Sports Network. You mentioned that certainly with Jacob Weaver's performance the other day, complete game against Montrose. Cade Bessert obviously gave you a lot of innings in that win yesterday, Ray. So it's been good. You haven't had to go to your bullpen. Is there now with this? I mean, obviously I have to worry about guys' arms and things like that. That's always a concern. But do you tend to lean toward maybe staying with the guy a little bit longer right now because of all the games, the compressed schedule, and not wanting to go too deep into your bullpen, too deep into your pitching staff in some of these games?
Well, I think our guys are in pretty good shape. You know, we had a plan this spring. We knew as a coaching staff that it was going to be a challenge and we're going to have to play a lot of ball games. So we've been at this since early March, and we made sure our pitchers are – we kind of eased them in March, and then in April we started throwing longer sessions. We had a lot of inter-squad scrimmages where we put those kids in situations where sometimes the hitter had a big advantage, sometimes the pitcher had an advantage. But we made sure that their arms were in shape, because I knew once the season started, you know, this was going to be unique, and you're not going to have time to ease a pitcher into the season. You know, we knew coming into it we had to hit it with a hit the ground running and make sure that guys were in shape. We had a plan last week, and we kind of had a restricted pitch count so that we could use some of those guys, and we wanted to make sure that they were fresh for this week of league, because we play within the 11 days we play 6 league games. And that's a challenge for any pitching staff. You know, most high schools, including ours, you just don't have that many arms. So you want to make sure that the guys that are better pitchers were in shape and able to go, you know, from a longevity standpoint, able to do that. That doesn't mean that, if a kid gets in trouble or anything like that, we won't back off a little bit. But we felt like both Jacob and Cade were in great shape and that they could throw the 110 pitches or whatever that Chassa lets you throw in a game, and they were, you know, ready to do that.
Wildcats head coach Ray McLennan with us today on the Team Sports Network. It's Central today, Ray, out at their place, their 1-0 league, had the good win against their crosstown rival Grand Junction on Tuesday night. So far as a team, they're hitting .301. We've got a good start offensively from Cooper Ross, who's hitting .444. Luke Brown's hitting .400 for them and had the good effort on the bump the other night against the Tigers. Kyle Bambino, the sophomore, is hitting .400. Around the no strength, another freshman, or another young guy, I should say, he's hitting .333 right now. It's a good offensive lineup that Chuck Yost has right now with this ball club.
Yeah, I was fortunate to be able to watch that Grand Junction Central game, and I was impressed with how Central played there. They've improved. We watched them play a little bit the week before in the Fanning, and they're red hot right now. They're playing well. They're playing with a lot of confidence, and anytime you run into a team, especially a young team, you know, they're going to ride that wave. And so I think we've got our hands full today. Obviously, you know, we're in a position where we can't throw our one or two, so we're going to have to kind of battle with our bullpen a little bit. And our guys know that, we're in for a dogfight today, and it's going to be a close ball game. And, you know, we've got to make sure that we do things right and play a good baseball game today if we're going to be in it.
And we'll have that game today right here on the Team Sports Network for a moment at Central, Southwestern League action. Pregame at 3:45 for that one. Ray, I appreciate you coming on this morning. Thanks for joining us, and good luck today against Central.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, Fruita Monument coach Ray McLennan joining us on the program today. All right, text or call us, 970-242-1340. Just a quick reminder, we'll have Central Fruita Monument today, 3:45 pregame, and then we'll have Colorado Mesa taking on Colorado Christian tonight, final series of the regular season for the Mavericks, who have already nailed down the RMAC regular season title. They'll host the RMAC tournament, of course, coming up next week, next Wednesday,
yeah,
over at Samson Plaisio Field.
There's old controversy involved with regional rankings, too, by the way. Mavs, number one team in the nation, second in the region.
That's
behind a team that in one poll is ninth.
Yeah, I'd like to think that maybe after the RMAC tournament, that's we'll see a change in that. I would like to think positive for the Mavericks. But yeah, how can you be the number one team in the nation,
but and not second in your own region?
Second in your region, I don't get that. I don't get that at all.
People that may not have seen your team play, but read box scores and read stories, are like, oh yeah, number one team in the nation, right there. But people in your region that probably should be watching, be like, second.
I know Kenny sent in the thing about teams under consideration.
Uh-huh.
And had a question about that, too. We'll try to get to that coming up in just a little bit. All right, coming up next hour on the program, Riflehead football coach Todd Casebeer, his team into the state title game this Saturday when they take on the Classical Academy for the 3A championship. We'll talk with him coming up in just a few minutes. All right, why wait to find a genie in a lamp and wish for riches when you can just go ahead and play Mega Millions, right? The jackpot right now is $430 million. So get your lucky numbers ready and pick up a ticket today and get ready to grant your own wishes. You know, forget that whole bottle thing, right? The genie.
Don't need it.
You got to polish that thing all the time. The genie's a pain in the butt.
I mean, keep him happy.
Exactly. And this way, the only person you have to keep happy is maybe your significant other and yourself, right?
Yeah.
Colorado Lottery knows we all have wishes for things we'd like to do if we win. Travel the world. Get your dream home. Or should we say homes, maybe, right? A little cabin?
Yeah.
Up and on the Grand Mesa? That'd be nice. Well, however big your wishes are, the Mega Millions jackpot is big enough to grant them. So get your lucky numbers ready because the next Mega Millions jackpot is sitting at $430 million. That's right, $430 million. You can make a lot of wishes come true with that. So what would you do? $430 million. What would you do?
Buying an RV, going to every ballpark in America.
I think I'd probably think about that as well. I would. Be fantastic. So get it today. Choose your lucky numbers or do a quick pick and have your numbers picked for you. The jackpot's at $430 million. Don't miss out. Colorado Lottery.